Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank God Almighty, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, without whom we would be so much lost right now. We'll be in despair. We'll be just like every other person out there. We're not saying it because we think we're special. We're saying it because we know that we have received grace. And for that, we are grateful to the Lord. This week, we have been coming and combing through the book of John, I would say. From John chapter 9, chapter 10, and now we are at chapter 11. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you. We're here, again reporting for duty, knowing fully well that you would teach us that which you want us to know. You have everything in your power. We pray, Lord, that you would inspire the heart of the people, that you would help the speaker as well to understand and to be able to pass across amicably to your people. Bless me. Bless the people that listen tonight or this day, and let the name of the Lord alone be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Now permit me today to take some time, because we'll ramp up today. I will try as much as possible not to take your time. We'll wrap up today. Let's go quickly to the book of John chapter 11. It says that now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus. Lazarus, we know that name, yes, of Bethany, the town Mary and her sister Martha, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So we should know Mary, and we should know Martha. It was that Mary, just in case we don't know, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. He whom thou lovest is sick. I would want us to quickly go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5. And it says that, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, which is wounds, we are healed. Amen. So back to this verse 3 of John, it says that the sister sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus loves us so much, so dearly, so deeply. And there comes a time in our journey that we have become sick. Even though we were in the fold, even though we've done everything possible to go through the door, we've consistently been with the Lord, we have asked him to feed at our table, we have washed his feet with our hair, we have broken the big box of ointment upon him, and we've adored him, but yet sickness still sets in. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified therein. Now this is beautiful. Jesus wept. And we knew, at least from this week, from what we've been talking about, that we started from the works of God. reason why we were blind was so that the works of God might be made manifest, and so that the works of God might be witnessed. Now, our sickness is so that the glory of God might be made manifest. From works to glory. Amen. We're doing everything we can do today. We've been sanctified. We've been justified. We've been purified. But here we are yet to be glorified. We're marching from the works of that we do, the works of God, to be a witness, to be condemned, to defend, to do everything now unto the point where the Lord will be glorified in us. Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he stayed 2 days still in the same place that he was. He stayed there for 2 more days. And after that, he said to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again. Let us go into Judea again." And his disciples say unto him, "Master," the Jews of late, they've been looking to stone you. What's going on? We've never heard of, I experienced this for a long time, for our lifetime. You've been with us for the past 3 years. We've been following you. But of late, you've been receiving a lot of stonings. Like, of late, it seems like you are attracting stones. So they've been looking to stone you. Why do you want to go there again? Why? And then Jesus drops a mystery here, which I want us to briefly look into. Because these people were speaking not only for the safety of the master, but most importantly, for their own safety. You want to go over there again. You have been attracting stones. You are like a stone magnet. We also might die as a result of that. Why do you still want to go to Judea? And Jesus said, look. Are there not 12 hours in a day? Oh, okay. Jesus was doing mathematics, or was he doing calculus? No. Are there not 12 hours in a day? We must understand that the Jews calculate their hours by, calculate their days by the hours. And there are mostly three frames we would hear. We would hear the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. I would not want to go into the significance of each of the hours and what they do, but we remember that Peter was praying at certain hour. Jesus himself was crucified at certain hour. He gave up the ghost at certain hour. So we would understand. We understand that. But that's not where we're going today. Are there not 12 hours in a day? So look, my time is not yet up. 12 hours in a day. I have spent the third hour in my first year. I have spent up to the sixth hour in my second year. My third year had passed. I've gone to the ninth hour. Now, it's not yet the end of the day. I still have a little more time. even if it's the 11th hour, it's about 3.5 years of my ministry. There's still a little bit of time. And as Jesus would say that, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But we would hear, he said, if any man walk in the day, remember that, if any man walk in the day, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if any man, not if Jesus, not he himself, he wasn't referring to himself. Let's see this. He wasn't referring to himself. He was simply saying, do not be afraid. There are 12 hours in the day. I am the day. He is the day. Jesus is the message. He is the day. As long as you're walking in the day, you would not stumble. Don't be afraid for yourself. Do not be afraid for yourself. he was talking about them in those days. I will tell you where he refers to us in our days. As long as you are in the day, you are walking alongside with me, do not be afraid. You will not stumble. Because he seeth. Look at this. He seeth. Not like he is in the day. No. He seeth the light of this world. He is seeing him face to face. As long as you are in the day, as long as you walk alongside with me, as long as I am with you, even though if it's in the 11th hour, it is not yet my time. I spend the third hour in my first year, the sixth hour in my second year, the ninth hour in my third year. Now, I still have a bit more hours left. As long as you are in the day, you will not stumble. Do not worry. Now he said, but if a man, walk in the night. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. Because there is no light in. Not because he seeth no the light. No. He said, because there is no light in him. Because in the night, it is the light within. The light that is within that helps. We are in the night. We are in the night. Jesus had left the world in the physical presence. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But truly, he is no longer in the world, but he is in us as the light. So, he is no longer the light of the world as the manifest presence, but we have now the light in us, and therefore, as we walk in the night, we cannot stumble. Amen. We cannot stumble. If a man, I'm happy to hear this, walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Now let's change that. If a man has light in him, even though he walks in the night, he will not stumble. That is why I've had some dreams recently that gives me a lot of happiness. I've always asked myself, why do I dream at, and I look at, the, it seems like I'm seeing the entire world and everywhere is dark. But I could see like lights, just specks of light here and there, as though people put up their phone. Just few people have their phone, but it's a bright light on their head. No, this is it. Because the light now that we have in the world is not shining upon the entire world. No, the light now is in us. And it is there to guide us along the way as we go in the world. This thing said he. And after that, he said unto them, I know you are afraid for yourself, but let me explain. Our friend Lazarus is sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him of his sleep. Because it is still day. No one sleepeth in the day. You don't sleep while it is day. Remember what he told Herod. He said, go tell that fox. I still have my time. There is still time for me. Go tell him. You can't take me yet. I have a time frame. And I'm still within my time frame. There is nothing you can do about it. Whenever the Lord says something, he has a significance. 12 hours in the day, he's telling us, I have about 4 years to spend. I've spent 3 years. Yes, I'm still within that time frame, so there's nothing you would do about it. He spent 3.5 years, and towards the evening time, towards that time that is in the closing of the day. Remember, what time did they take him? Did they go all the way to take him and capture him? What time was that? What time was it that he gathered all the disciples together? Oh, man. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they do not know. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. And then Jesus had to speak plainly to them. Okay, now, you have to hear, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And I'm happy that he is dead. I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. To the intent ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then Thomas, so much of a loved man, which is called Didymus, said unto his fellow disciples, oh no, let us also go. Ah, they've taken Lazarus. They've also wanted to take us all this while. They've been able to get through with Lazarus. Oh, let us also go and die with him. Let us go and just, you know, let them kill us all together. We're going there to die with him. But when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. He'd been in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. I would want to speak on verse 17 about the significance of the 4 days, but we'll move, that's not where we're going. We'll move away from there for now. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Martha ran to meet him, but Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. He wouldn't have died. My brother would not have died. If you've been here for all this while, he wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Lazarus was sick and he slept. Remember, it was day. He did not die. He slept. He slept in the Lord. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I that I am speaking unto you, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou these? Now let's look at that a little bit. He that believeth in me, even though he was dead before believing in me, yet shall he live. Okay. We would have said, oh, okay, it means that he that believeth in God, if we die natural death, then we'll resurrect on the last day. But the second verse now kind of throws it off balance a little bit. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then that throws it off balance. What is he saying? Even though we were blind and sin, even though we were dead, absolutely dead, deep in the crutches of sin, deep dead, lifeless, without any hope, absolutely, as soon as the Lord meets us, as soon as we encounter the Lord, we would rise. Both spiritually and physically, we would rise. The thing that happened to our brothers and our sisters and we can no longer interact with them is not death. No, it's not death. Death is the absolute separation from God. They did not die. They were not separated from God. Look at our life, we've been separated all of our life. We've all been separated, deeply separated from God until we believed in him and then we became alive. And the moment we became alive, he who is alive and we have a consistent belief in Jesus, we would never taste death. We can go to sleep. I love that. We can go to sleep. We can rest. But death is not one thing that we would taste. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard, she arose quickly and she came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him, at the entrance. He was not in the town yet. He was not him yet. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not had died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Okay. Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw the Jews weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? The Lord Jesus, looking down onto us, every single day of our trials, every single day that we are here, every single day that we are waiting for him to come. Remember Martha. Martha. I would say Martha, a type of the Gentiles. We're just so busy. Seriously busy with a lot of things. Busy with satisfying Jesus. Busy with church activities. Busy building mansions and sanctuaries and big churches. Busy doing everything. Yeah, we truly love him. But we are simply busy doing all of those things. It reminds me of what we love to be busy doing. We love to be busy building big churches, busy building places, busy building activities, a lot of activities. Yes, he loves us nonetheless. Yes, he does love us nonetheless. And yet we would meet him, not before he come in. He said we'll meet him in the air, before he even lands in. We'll meet him in the air. We'll meet him just right at the entrance. Yes, Martha met him right at the entrance. And then he called unto Mary. And Mary, a type of Jew, the deeply troubled in their heart, the weeping. Oh no. And having seen Mary, whom he also loved. No, there was no case that he loved Mary than Martha. No, he never loved Mary than Martha. He doesn't love Martha than Mary. The Bible said he loved Mary, he loved Martha, and he loved Lazarus. Mary, whom he also loved, but he looked at Mary and looked at the Jews. Then he had compassion within himself. He had compassion for us. Martha was also crying. He had compassion for us. He was willing to heal us. He healed us of our blindness. He healed us of our diseases. And he had compassion. And he asks, where is he laid? Where have you laid him? That morning he would ask the same question. Where are they? On the resurrection morning, where are they? Please arise. And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. He wept for you and I. He was compassionate. Then said the Jews, behold, how we loved him. Oh, how he loved us. Oh, how he loved me so deeply. And some of them said, could not this man, now remember this word, we've been coming from there, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, could not this man, who is the shepherd, could not this man, who is the door, could not this man, who made the man a true witness? Could not this man who has the fold, could not this man who has a very close relationship with the Father, who opened the eyes of the blind, have also caused that even this man should not have died? And that's the question the world asks us today. Could not your Jesus, whom you say loved you, could not he have just allowed you to be rich and not have to go through all this problem? Could not he have allowed you to retain your child and not have you go through pains like this where you have to lose your child? Could not he have allowed you to not go through the pains where you have to lose your daughter or where you have to lose your parent? Could not he have allowed all of that to happen? Could not Jesus have allowed all of that to happen? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning himself, come to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for all this. He's been in the grave for the past 4,000 years. He's been there for the past 4,000 years. He's been here out. Oh, no. There's no flesh again. Even the bones we can no longer find. They've been in the grave for the past 4,000 years. They've been in the grave for the past 2,000 years. Oh, we've seen people who are not even Jews who've been there for the past 4,000 years. Oh, we can talk about the Jews who resurrected with Jesus. But there've been a lot of people who are not Jews who have been there for the past 4,000 years. Oh, look at these people. Jesus said unto me, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God, not just the works of God, but now it is about the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heareth me always, but because of the people which stand by high, said it, who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. That same weeping he cried, my children, come forth. My children, come forth. My people, come forth. My bride, come forth. Oh, Lazarus, remember that parable. That parable wasn't really a parable. Lazarus is a clear depiction of every son of God. Every son of God. Every entity that the Lord has here on earth. That was Lazarus. That was Lazarus. Oh, yes. He is a picture. He is a clear picture. And Mary and Martha represent the Gentiles and the Jews. Lazarus is a clear depiction of every sons of God. Lazarus, all my sons, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloth, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Now we are free. Now we are finally free. We're no longer in prison. We're no longer in prison. We have become free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for losing us and letting us go. Thank you for the resurrection morning. Thank you, Lord, for that moment where you will call every one of us forth. We would meet you in the air. We would dine with you. We would enjoy ourselves with you. Because after now, what happened next was that they came. Lazarus hosted the dinner. Oh, he hosted. There was a big dinner in the house of Lazarus, and Jesus was there because that was also his house. He was there, and there was surplus of meals for everyone to eat. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that this day you will go before the Lord and just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Please spend your day, spend your evening, spend your weekend just thanking the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, from works unto glory. We are waiting. We are waiting for that glorification. And we know that he is here. As long as we have the light in us, even we walk in darkness, we will not stumble. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you all. And God bless you all. And God bless you all. God bless you all indeed. Shalom. Shalom.